everyone, to another episode of the Canadian Space Society podcast. I'm your host, Mahima Kapoor, and today we have another exciting episode planned with two very curious and ambitious high school students, Olivia and Shreya, along with their mentors, Andrea and Debbie. Special shout out to their other mentor, Dr. Shauna Pandya, who couldn't attend the session today. They are the winners of the SHAD 2020 Design Challenge. To give a bit of background, SHAD Canada is a month-long summer STEAM and entrepreneurship program for Canadian high school youth. It challenges participants to create solutions to grand global and human challenges. This year, the program devised a novel challenge to design a research project completely virtually in the era of COVID-19 for suborbital flight that leverages space and microgravity in a meaningful and creative way with impacts for science and humanity. A judging panel judged 62 final projects based on their impact, scientific merit, technical feasibility, and project plan. And this team was selected as the winner of the SHAD 2020 Design Challenge. They developed a project that investigates the structural formation of polyurethane foam in microgravity. The team consists of 10 students from across the country who continue to work with their mentors, Debbie, Shauna, and Andrea, to develop space-borne polyurethane foam with potential terrestrial application. So welcome to the podcast, everyone. I hope you're having a great time today, and I hope we have an exciting conversation. So I'm going to first chat with Olivia. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in space.
Hi, my name is Olivia, and I am a grade 12 student from the Greater Toronto Area. In the project, in the SHAD project, I mainly work to develop our project's mechanical subsystems and coordinate finances for mechanical parts with Shreya. In addition, I am involved in some of the pre and post testing procedures, planning those for the project. In terms of my interest in space, I think to me and to a lot of people, I find that space is something that is inaccessible. For example, we learn about, let's say, the solar system in school. We learn about stars and gravity in physics classes. But we, even with all of that information, it still feels very unreachable. And everything that I mentioned about studying is a lot of theory rather than application. So I think that there's so much to be done still with space. It's so unexplored. And I find that very interesting and something that I want to do in the future. So I hope that in the future, and I hope that with this as my starting point, I'll be able to work and contribute to the space industry.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we're super excited to chat with you today. And hopefully it'll inspire other young people as well. So we've got Shreya, who's another team member. Tell us a little bit about yourself as well and how you got interested in space.
So hi, I'm Shreya, and I'm a grade 12 student from Ottawa. So my role in the team mainly centers around the development of subsystems and overall management of mechanical parts and finances alongside Olivia. A little bit about myself, some pathways I'd like to explore in the future, mainly center around STEM and business. So I love working collaboratively, and this is why I enjoy SHAD. So about space, to be honest, although I certainly thought astronomy and space in general was interesting, I never really considered that field as something that I would seriously like want to participate in. It was always just a fun thing to like learn about space and watch like space documentaries with my family during the summer. Even right up until like the first meeting for SHAD, I had no idea that we were going to like even attempt something like this as a project. So only after developing this project and learning from SHAD keynote speakers and just everything that I learned through SHAD, I realized how interconnected space related research is and just how many like different aspects of STEM that you can like use for space in general or space exploration. So I think through this SHAD project, I've gained more interest in space as a whole than I have before. And I think I will continue fostering this passion.
Speaking of SHAD Canada as a big opportunity for you guys, how did you discover the opportunity for the summer program? I'll go to Olivia for this one.
I think I initially saw SHAD, like one of the SHAD posters, outside of a bulletin board of my school's math office. So every single year, I think SHAD has a bunch of ambassadors, student ambassadors, that will go around schools and they'll essentially just tell students about the program and they'll hand out stuff like brochures and posters. So I saw one of those posters outside the math office and I asked around, and then I was actually heavily involved in my school's robotics club and I was quite young, I think maybe in grade 10. So I asked some of the upper years and they had went to SHAD before. So I asked them about it. They told me more and it seemed like something that was really fun. It was a month-long summer camp where you're staying at a university campus and you're meeting all of these amazing people and participating in these amazing activities. It seemed like something I really wanted to do. So that's how I found it. I received my acceptance in February 2020 after applying in November 2019, and I was really excited to go. I had some of my friends in the same grade I was in who also got in. So we were excited to see how we would get different campuses or the different people we would meet, the different experiences we would have. But unfortunately, the program then got canceled in March 2020 because of the pandemic. And we were all super bummed out. We were all really sad because it was obviously an opportunity that we were very excited to do. But then in around April or May, the shadow program emailed us and they said, hey, to all the grade 11s then, so we're grade 12 now, but grade 11s last year, that they have this online program, the online physical program equivalent that is open to all the grade 11s. And they also announced in the same email that they sent us about the program that there was going to be a shad design project centered around space with the opportunity to create a payload that will fly in space. So I saw that and that was very cool, very interesting to me. And I immediately said, yes, I definitely want to attend. It's an awesome opportunity. I still wanted to meet all those people that I, unfortunately, even though I can't meet them in person, I would be able to still meet them online. So that's kind of how the whole circle went, finding out the program, applying, getting accepted, and then the online program.
That is amazing. And it's super cool that you guys were able to do this virtually. So let's dive in and talk a little bit about your project. So Shreya, I want to know from you, what exactly is polyurethane foam? And how did you guys settle on it as the topic of your research project?
I think I'll start with the latter, like half of that question first. So funnily enough, like, our project started off with silly string and microgravity, thought by one of our teammates, Tina. And she said, like, we were all brainstorming different things that we wanted to explore in space to, like, develop our project. And she said, how would silly string in space work? Like, what are the mechanics of it? So we used that as our, I guess, our jumping point, and we did lots of research. So I was thinking about, like, the project in general and its components, and I did some research. And then I found an article for ESA's experiment on foam in space. So this was, like, namely liquid foam created through, like, the agitation of fluid. So they sent fluid up into space and then agitated it and then noticed the bubbles that formed. So the study found that compared to bubbles on Earth, which, like, pop, like, they pop faster due to gravity pulling the fluid downwards, the foam bubbles made in space were more stable and long-lasting. So we thought, this is an interesting thing to explore. And we noticed that all the tests in the ESA experiment were done with foam that was liquid. So by the time the experiment returned back down to Earth, the materials were completely fluid once again. So with this, we thought, what if we were able to examine the bubble properties back on Earth? And this led us to think about foam that solidifies in space, so it could be brought back down to Earth and tested. So that's where I think we started to research into different types of foam that could actually achieve this. And we ended up with construction polyurethane foam. So this is mainly used in insulation for buildings, and it solidifies within 3 minutes. That fits perfectly within our parameters for the design project in the first place. So from this, we crafted our topic of research and ended up with examining the physical or mechanical properties of polyurethane foam in the form of construction foam in microgravity.
That sounds very, very cool. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys found. So Olivia, what were the key findings of your project?
So we haven't flown the payload yet. We're still in the process of reiterating, finalizing our payload with all of the new mentors that we got after the month of July when we started actually working on the project. So we're still working on the payload, doing some tests, but we do have some things that we're looking forward to testing after the payload has flown. So overall, we're looking to see how the formation of solid foam from the two liquid components vary from being created in microgravity to being created on Earth. And we also want to look at the properties of this foam that's created in space. So as Shreya said previously about the investigation done by ESA, which is the European Space Agency, we know that there will be a difference because of the difference in gravity. So after investigating that, we will also test and compare the properties of the foam created in space to a control foam on Earth. We'll take both foams, so the foam created in space and the foam created on Earth, into the lab, and we'll evaluate some test properties, such as the heat resistance of the two foams, the compression ability of the two foams, and also some qualitative properties like bubble radius, the size of the bubbles, and also the density. So those are just some things we're looking to test. We're also still planning our procedures.
Yeah, that sounds very, very cool. And you've designed the study, and it's super exciting to see, you know, maybe once you have more findings, and we would love to report back on what actually came out of it and what your conclusions were. So looking forward to that. Okay, so tell us a little bit about some potential applications for a polyurethane foam.
So with the difference in how the foam on space will form compared to the foam on Earth, where we anticipate the foam in space to have an improved integrity, I think there are many different industries. I think there are many different industries that can use this improved foam in different applications, which will hopefully improve things like human safety and contribute to a lot of technological advancements. So I guess I'll speak on some specific applications for some different industries. In the human health sector, a stronger foam could help create prosthetics that can last longer and provide more support to the person that is wearing them. In the automotive industry, parts of vehicles that are prone to fracturing can be modified to include this strengthened foam, which can absorb greater impacts and lessen damages. Similarly, in sports science, helmets worn by athletes can support the integration of this space foam by absorbing a higher amount of energy, thus lessening the stress on the athlete's skull. And lastly, another application that we hope the foam formed in space would help is infrastructure. So foam is very frequently used for insulation. So if there is an improved thermal resistance in the new foam created in space compared to the foam created in Earth, it would provide a better alternative to the foam we use now. And while speaking about all of those amazing applications, we'll have to also consider cost and all of that, because obviously sending some foam to space is much more expensive than just creating foam on Earth. But we're not focusing on that too much. We're just focusing on what are some new properties that this improved foam could offer humankind.
That's amazing. It's super cool to hear about, you know, this potentially being applicable to various industries. I think that's something that's a really, really cool value for the foam and for your project as well. So looking forward to hearing more about that maybe in the future. So Shreya, I've got a question for you. If you can do your project all over again, would you do anything differently?
This might be a little bit strange to say, but I honestly don't think myself or my teammates would do anything differently. Shet gave us, I guess, all the necessary tools and the communication platform to do our project. And no matter how hard we ended up procrastinating on it, we were still able to submit a project that we were proud and satisfied with. So I don't think I would change anything about that aspect. And as for the current development of our payload, we're always going through different design cycles and exploring new ideas for subsystems and in general. And if we had all of the answers at the beginning of which component would work with this thing and which material would work with this, without actually experimenting anything ourselves or researching ourselves, it wouldn't be any fun to do. So I think I wouldn't do anything differently. The process and the journey that we're going on right now is fruitful in itself.
That's amazing. And maybe you could say that you would have liked to have done this in person, but it sounds like you guys have had an amazing experience doing it virtually as well, and, you know, really enjoyed that. So I'm glad that it wasn't too much of a hindrance, and you guys could still get to do the project. So that's awesome.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go for it.
To the point you just had about doing it in person versus having done it online, I think our year may be, I think it's the first year where Shad, we've been able to take the project done during the summer and take it further than the summer. I'm not sure about the future, and I won't talk about the future because I don't want to leak anything, but if we did do it in person, I don't think we would have had this opportunity to take it to the next level and actually have our proposal and our design brought to life. So yeah, it would have been awesome to do it during the summer, but everything that we've done, I think, so far kind of makes up for losing that opportunity.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's always a silver lining. I'm glad you guys are definitely thinking that way. That's amazing. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it so much. So that leads to my next question. And that's for you, Olivia. What advice would you have for fellow young students who may be looking to get involved in space or STEM in general? What opportunities can they seek out that you did, or what avenues for networking can they go down to get similar opportunities to you?
I think I would suggest taking a look at what you want to do and then work backwards from there. And after you've broken down your interests, you can start building some more fundamental skills. Right now, with online, the most accessible format is probably YouTube, which is great because it's filled with vast number of resources where you can learn absolutely everything. And while you're starting out, I want to emphasize that STEM skills are hard skills, which means they're teachable and they're measurable. So if you put your time into it, you can definitely expand your knowledge. And after a while, after you've kind of built up your arsenal of skills, you can start to branch off into perhaps joining some extracurricular groups or doing projects. And when doing this, you'll naturally find others that are interested in the same things you are. So that whole networking aspect will come pretty naturally. I actually used this method to start off in STEM because I knew that I wanted to do something kind of technical design related in the future. So I joined my school's robotics team, and I knew there I would be able to learn some valuable skills that I wouldn't necessarily be able to get anywhere else, definitely not in the classroom. And doing robotics has definitely helped me in this project because I've been able to take what I've learned about building a robot and then apply it to designing the mechanical portion of the payload. So that's pretty great. And one last tip for getting involved in the STEM industry in general is to ensure that you've developed your soft skills and not just your technical skills. So for example, even though I'm a STEM student, I still participated in DECA and tried to build up my leadership experiences through non-STEM related activities, because I believe that the communication or the public speaking skills I learned with those activities would be really helpful when it came to networking or doing interviews. In networking and interviews, being able to connect with people on a professional and a personal level is really important. So make sure you build those up. So to sum up, build up your technical experience, you can do it, and also make sure you strengthen your interpersonal skills, and then both those combined is really going to set you up for success in the STEM industry in the future. Good luck.
Yeah, that sounds like some really solid advice. And Trey, I have the same question for you. What would you tell fellow young students who are looking to get involved in space or STEM in general?
So first of all, I completely agree with Olivia. What she said was correct. And I have some advice on how to get opportunities or how to look for opportunities, like in your school or in your region. So one way that I did from like grade 8 onwards was that I looked at lots of university hosted events for middle school and high school students and just work your way from there. And like a lot of schools have robotics clubs or astronomy clubs and different types of clubs. So there are lots of different things that you could look for, I guess, in your school, in your community, in universities that are in your region. There are science and math competitions hosted by universities. And the biggest piece of advice is just be aware of everything that's going on in your city, because there's definitely something for you that you could fit in. And the second answer that I would give for like advice to looking to get involved in STEM is to just be confident in no matter like what you go into or no matter what you do. So there's so many programs and courses and competitions and clubs that you can join. But if you believe that you're capable of contributing and participating in these activities, it'll help you succeed in STEM itself. So even if you don't have the skills for something yet, it doesn't mean that you can't be confident in learning them. So I feel like the two answers I gave go hand in hand, and they also, I guess, interconnect with Olivia's. Just as long as you're proactive in what you choose to spend your time on, as long as it interests you, I think just go for it without hesitation, because I think you'll regret it later on if you don't do it right now.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people forget that everyone starts from somewhere. So just get started and you'll be successful. You'll keep going and growing and growing, and then eventually you'll reach your goals.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm feeling very, very inspired right now. And I hope that other students listening to this as well will feel the same way when they hear you guys talk about, you know, wanting to do something, building it from scratch, and then actually getting it done. So that's amazing. We also have our mentors, Andrea and Debbie, on the call as well. So I just want to bring them in and talk a little bit about their experience and how was it mentoring students. So Andrea, let's start with you. Just general comments about your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I gotta say, it's been such an honor to work with the Moose Ferenc team and the broader SHAD 2020 community from the very start. Hands down, this is an amazing crew to work with. So it's been an absolute delight. And, you know, when I think about my experience on this project, this all started with a conversation I actually had with Debbie months ago, right before the pandemic started. And then when the pandemic hit, we decided this would be the right design challenge for the students for last year. And I love the ambition behind it, because, you know, you wouldn't think that during a pandemic, the first thing your head goes to for a design challenge would be, yes, let's build design and build a payload remotely with students from across Canada. I love the idea of that. And it was just so exciting to be able to pull together this unique challenge from the very start. You know, a lot of the work that I do with Luna focuses on enabling all sorts of researchers to access space. So being able to partner on a STEAM experiment like this has been really meaningful for me. And I think it's just great for the project in general, because it's had so many firsts. This is a commercial payload on a suborbital reusable vehicle. That's really exciting, just to be using technology that's so new and just a new platform for conducting space research. And also doing this all remotely during a pandemic. I applaud the team for getting together week after week. It's been so inspiring to watch them work together to collaborate. You know, everyone in the team has been balancing work, life, schools, finals, you know, being a student and just being a human during this time. And it's so great to see the team being able to pursue something that can inspire so many other students, especially across Canada. So I really couldn't be more impressed, and I cannot wait to see Moose Ferenc fly.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And how about you, Debbie? How was your experience like on the project?
Thank you. Yes. I'd just like to say how enjoyable and inspiring it is to work with the Moose Ferenc team, as well as with Andrea and Shauna. I learn something new each day working on this project, so I'm not sure who is mentoring who. SHAD has almost 19,000 alumni, and these 10 from 2020 are amongst the brightest and most dedicated youth I've had the privilege to work with. And they're fun. We are having a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see this project off the ground.
And that concludes our episode for today. I really want to say a huge thank you to both Olivia and Shreya for being here and answering all of my questions, as well as Andrea and Debbie for being amazing mentors and also just shedding your light on all the different things that these students work on and being there. I really enjoyed talking to you. And again, shout out to Shauna, who couldn't be here today. Any final thoughts before we conclude the episode?
Thank you for having us.
Yes, so thank you.
Thank you.
No worries. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes from the Canadian Space Society. Bye.